fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Well, 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 if I didn't think I was so smart, just kidding, I would question, like, wait, what? Is there scientific evidence that perhaps we have more than one brain? Well, I love this subject. We're going to be talking about, really, our second brains, and we do have more than one, and also where it is and what it does for us, because I think it's really important as we age. Not only do we have to mind our mind, so our cognitive function and that particular brain that we know sits on our shoulders, but this brain that we're talking about needs the same attention and healthy aging as our brain does, our real brain. Don't you agree, Dr. Weiss?
I do, and it's also, this is the brain that's more modifiable, meaning that, you know, we give good nutrients to the brain on our shoulders. We stay active in our thought processes. We do thought exercises. We keep our brains busy, good fish oils, things like that. But it's not as modifiable as the second brain, which literally is what we call our enteric nervous system, which is along our digestive tract. And it's interesting, Holly, off the air, I made a comment that the longer science looks at these kinds of issues, the more reinforced the naturopathic paradigm is, the paradigm that we have this ability to heal and recover, and it's largely based on our detoxification pathways and our digestive tract. And here we are, we have this book by HarperCollins called The Second Brain, the enteric nervous system, which literally the second brain consists of sheaths of neurons embedded in the walls of the long tube or gut. The second brain contains some 100 million neurons, more neurons than are in the spinal cord or the peripheral nervous system. And this is literally the brain that people punch you in the stomach, they're affecting, that when you're eating a Twinkie, you're affecting, or if you're diarrhea, constipation, all that, you're affecting that second brain, which is literally connected to your first brain.
Yeah. And I love, you know what I love so much that you say about this particular brain is, I guess it would be, is it an adjective? Modifiable. What is that?
I call that an adjective.
Okay. So
it describes a
verb. Yeah. So modifiable. What does that mean, folks? Modifiable means that, and we've said this a lot, and I say this a lot too, there's so many things, in my opinion, that are really, truly just so out of our control. I mean, even if we don't realize it, they're just so out of our control. But then that empowers me, quite honestly, to want to, at least, and start to take control of what I do have control over, especially when it comes to your health and also to prevention and or slowing of progression when it comes to disease. And so when things are modifiable, those are risk factors, and that is a place that you can make a difference with your behavior. They can be modified. They don't have to be dangerous. They can actually be shifted into more positive, healthy things. And I love that.
And let's take it a step further. It's an early warning device. So when you're looking at somebody that has chronic diarrhea, understand that second brain is going to affect their primary brain. If they have irritable bowel, Crohn's, if they are having gas and bloating, understand that that's the warning sign that it's going to eventually affect that upstairs. This is your canary in a coal mine to things like Alzheimer's, senile dementia. Let me give you a quote here about how evolved this system is. The system is way too complicated to evolve only to make things move out of your colon. We're talking about this nervous system, this enteric brain in your digestive tract, says Emeryn Mayer, a professor of physiology, psychiatry, and biobehavioral sciences at the David Geffen School of Medicine, University of California, Los Angeles. The only place where a record producer is going to have a school of medicine named after him, but UCLA. It is not David Geffen making this claim and going, dude, your colon's your brain, man. No, this is a professor of three different sciences at UCLA. But he went on to said something interesting. For example, scientists were shocked to learn that about 90% of the fibers in the primary visceral nerve, the vagus, which I work a lot with atrial fibrillation with patients on, carries information from the gut to the brain and not the other way around. Listeners, this means that there's a telephone from your digestive tract to your brain, a big telephone, a big hunk of wires communicating these signals back and forth, and it makes sense. The brain is involved. It is your central processor, and foods, nutrients, waste products have to be managed through this. It makes sense that there's a direct line of communication. For years, the vagus nerve, this is this rest, relax, and repair nerve, we always thought it was going one direction from the brain down. It's not. I also know in my extensive work on atrial fibrillation that the vagus nerve is sending information back the other direction involving heart rhythms. This is even taking it to another level and to the point where another PhD chimed in and said some of this information about this communication is unpleasant. And the reason it is it's throwing Holly all of their models of, hey, this is how it works and there's no other way it could be. They have to throw some of those into the garbage, rethink how a lot of these disease processes are working. Big deal. Big science here.
That's awesome. And once again, you said it, you know, there's these things that I feel like we've known for a long time. And then you've got this great, HarperCollins is a wonderful publishing company, and you've got this wonderful book for people. You know, it's like when Robert Sapolsky wrote Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Once again, I was like, great book. It's a difficult read. He's a very entertaining PhD. I think he's in Stanford. But there are so many concepts that I love that I've known for a long, long time. And, I know we've known for a long time that all of a sudden hit the masses. And it's kind of like, I feel like, duh. But I'm just so glad that everybody else has the chance to learn about it in a fun way, especially that book. And really help, I think it helps make the connection. And I think it helps decrease some of the crazy turf wars that we have in medicine these days, meaning, sure, Dr. Weiss and I are from a school of medicine, naturopathic medicine. I think it's a wonderful system of medicine, but there's also others. And instead of getting all tangled up in the turf wars about, hey, who's better, there's a place for everything. And we can start making these, just common sense can make a comeback, I think. We can make these connections.
I want to expand on something you said in other segments, Holly. And when you talk about that the gut is one of the primary manufacturing facilities for neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters involved in sleep, involved in depression. We have this quantified here. The enteric nervous system uses more than 30 neurotransmitters, just like the brain. And in fact, as you've said before, 95% of the body's serotonin is found in the bowels, because antidepressant medications like SSRIs increase the levels. It's little wonder that meds meant to use chemical changes in the mind provoke GI issues as side effects, to the point where, well, I don't want to go into the rest of it because I'm sitting here reading the article. But listeners, we have to start to look at the underlying causes of depression and start to look at this brain. I want to repeat to you something we have talked about before. In the new look at research on antidepressants, they have nothing. There is no new classes. The wonder happy pill is gone. We have to look at this nervous system and taking care of this in order to climb up that ridge and get it back.
I love it. Okay, here's what we're talking about. We are definitely talking about the fact that, yep, we have a second brain. We sure do. And it's the enteric nervous system. And what's really important is that inside of it, this brain, it's modifiable, much more modifiable than the brain that we have sitting on our shoulders. And as far as depression is concerned, just like Dr. Weiss said, when we're looking at our gut being our second brain, and neurotransmitters like serotonin, if we can heal the hole, yep, it's the hole that starts at your mouth and the hole that ends back there, we can help with things like anxiety and depression, because there's no new medications coming out there. We've got to look perhaps that this is an inside job. Just trying to help you stay well here on Radio MD.